and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagmann and Hagmann Reporter, coming to you live from our radio and television studios located right here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. That's the place to be, the Global Star Radio Network, the only place to be seen, right? We simulcast on Blog Talk Radio as well, and you can watch us live in my archive, normally on our YouTube channel. Links to each audio and video broadcasting venue, of course, you can get right off of Hagmann and Hagmann.com. We've got two websites, Hagmann and Hagmann.com. Show information, show prep, homework, stuff, information, news you need to know. It's HagmannReport.com, HagmannReport.com. That's for the news, information, show prep, stuff you need to know. And, of course, Hagmann and Hagmann.com for all of the broadcasting venues. Did I say that right? I don't know. After the debate, my head is spinning. How about you, huh? You know, watching that debate, how painful was that? Or how interesting was that? Or how far have we gone down the swirly? Right? My goodness. Now, a lot of dynamics going on before, during, and after that debate. Right? Yeah. And of course, that was the talk of everything. I watched the debate live with my wife. And watched the after debate. And of course, the run-up to the debate. And then the painful analysis afterwards. What's all of this protecting us from or diverting us from? I mean, obviously it's obviously this is news in and of itself. I've never seen anything like this before in my life, and I'm old. Eric just said, yeah, you are. I'm old. But, you know, looking at the landscape, looking at the decorum or lack thereof, what happened to the word gravitas? Remember that when it was bounced around so much? Gravitas.
It was a rough debate to watch. I tried to watch it. I had to turn it off almost immediately.
Well, you know, boy, if looks could kill, too. Did you see the looks of the look by William Jefferson Clinton? That was wow.
Having all those ladies in the same place at the same time
with his wife,
in the same room with him, with his wife. Yeah, you can have that. That'll bring a look on your face like that.
Yeah, I guess it will. Now, folks, Steve Quayle is going to be joining us not at the top of this hour, but at the top of next hour. I was talking with him right before the show, and he asked if he said, "Look, let me come on at the top of the next hour." You know, for he was in the middle of some things, and we were talking, and it got a little bit late, and I said, "Yeah, let's do that." And we're going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about current events with Steve, and about how the current events, whether it's the domestic political situation or the geopolitical situation, fit into prophecy. And you know, he called it, folks. Steve Quayle called it correctly in our program a couple of years ago. And right before the show, I was kind of digging around for some notes, show notes I had from. I think it was 2.5 years ago that Steve said that we were going to be in this exact position that we are right now, folks. Portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com. That's right, ZipRecruiter.com. Do you own a small business, medium business, large business? Are you the personnel director? Are you in charge of hiring? If you are, ZipRecruiter.com is the place to be right now, folks. If you go to ZipRecruiter.com, well, if you go to HagmanReport.com or HagmanandHagman.com, you click on the link for ZipRecruiter. It'll take you to our special place there. And there at ZipRecruiter.com, you can actually take advantage of a special they have for us, they've made for us. You can try ZipRecruiter for free for a limited time. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. You have to use, well, mention, of course, mention. You heard it on the Hagman Report, Hagman and Hagman Report. More on that later. But getting back to this, this is certainly a very odd landscape, geopolitical landscape here domestically. And it's having reverberations all across the world. I've never seen, you know what, folks, have you seen such a thing where this has affected foreign leaders? Our elections have affected foreign leaders. Oh, I want to mention this too. Friday, I had an overwhelming urge to just pray for our law enforcement officers and just a bad feeling about things. And of course, it was within hours that Palm Beach, California police officers were shot and a third wounded, two perished, two died in a shooting. I just see that I see bad things coming with respect to the societal evolution or devolution. I think things are unraveling at a breakneck rate. It's amazing how I don't know. It's amazing how there's no sanctity of life among people anymore. This godless, lawless society that's brought about by the demonic. And I'm seeing more and more people laugh at or refuse to acknowledge good versus evil, the good, the evil that exists out there. And the people are so cavalier about God and about the take your superstitious book and get it out of my face, your superstitions. The full court press against God, against all that's good, and I see that this is part judgment upon us, and I think he's going to be talking about this. Steve Quayle is going to be talking about this as well. But can you see the increase in lawlessness across the land that's in direct correlation with the decrease in spirituality? Of course. I mean, one has everything to do with the other. We're in a position right now where, well, I mean, it's only gonna get worse. You know, and I said this earlier too. Yesterday, Joe, I don't know whether you caught this before the debates, after the release of those tapes or that tape of Trump making those locker room comments as they're being described.
About this a little bit Friday.
Yeah, but the talking heads were saying, "Oh well, what about replacing? You know, what would happen if they had to replace Trump? Would Pence be elevated?" But remember, I still think that there's room here. Something is going to happen. I don't know what it is, but the complexion. Maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see this election going off the way people think it's going to go off, take place. And I had mentioned this early on. I really think that they're out to get Trump. Out to get him indeed, but I also think that there's exposure on the part of Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton as well. Boy, Lord of the Flies. I mean, did you see that too?
Yeah,
I mean, I thought it was on, and I was among many who thought it was, I thought something landed on my TV screen.
I don't know how many times that's happened in the upper echelons of politics. You know, we've seen it with Obama in the White House, where the flies swarm, land on him, land on his face during speeches. But this time it was Hillary Clinton, the fly landed on her, the upper ridge of her nose.
And it was on her eyebrow.
Yeah.
I mean, her
forehead, eye, that area, side of the nose.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of people speculating on the internet, but a lot of people, at least what I've seen from people's response to that on Twitter and on other comment sections on websites, that they say demonic possession. And I'm just quoting, I saw multiple, on multiple different platforms.
And people might think, oh, it's no big deal. You know, bugs flying around, flies flying around, it's no big deal. But when you got Obama, you got Hillary, I mean, I understand that it's normal, but it's not normal in this case. I mean, my goodness, I don't know. I mean, I've had flies land on, you know, on your arm. I'm sure you've had them land on your shirt or your arm or whatever, your leg. But man, you know, just to kind of make a beeline right to your face like that. I don't know. That just, well, you know what flies are attracted to, right? Well, that's, there you go. But in the background here, of course, we've got a brand new bevy of emails, WikiLeaks emails, the Clinton campaign insiders.
John Podesta.
Yeah.
The WikiLeaks 2.0 drop. Yes. I've been accumulating important ones in a special folder on my computer.
Well, we've got the entirety of, we have all of the WikiLeaks emails downloaded to a hard drive. We're going through them both by keyword and manually, because sometimes the keyword search, who knows.
There's an interesting one about Benghazi that I came across.
Yes.
It says, this is from John Podesta. It says, one important point has to be universally acknowledged by the 9 previous reports about Benghazi. The attack was almost certainly preventable. Clinton was in charge of the State Department and failed to protect U.S. personnel at an American consulate in Libya. If the GOP wants to raise that talking point against her, it's legit.
Not a consulate. It's not a flipping consulate.
Well, that's what they refer to it.
Right. This was a CIA headquarters. It was, and the words in this case are so important. This was not a sanctioned residence. There was no foot traffic in. You know, you didn't have Libyans going in there to get passports or whatever to meet. No, this was the center of a CIA operations for the biggest gun running operation in North Africa, and it was in Benghazi. And of course, that served as the port running weapons up to Syria. This is the crux of this, and it's unfortunate to me. Well, I don't know. Unfortunate. Look, I'm not a politician, so I don't know. But if I were running for president, if I was Donald Trump, I certainly would have brought home the point that Benghazi, that whole thing with Benghazi, revolved around the policies of Obama and Clinton, in particular Clinton. Yes, it was an operation to arm the anti-Assad terrorists, which are the same as ISIS, or have become, or at least become associated with ISIS. So you've got this morphing, whether it was al-Nusra or other organizations that were backed by Russia, which they were. The attacking groups in Benghazi were proxies of the Russian government, but they were also morphing with and into al-Qaeda and ISIS through different groups, if you can follow me on that. It's a very complex geopolitical situation, but all of this was to expose, the attack was in response to and to expose the gun-running operation. And you had millions and millions of pounds of weapons that were sent up to Syria, to Turkey, actually, which they made their way into Syria. And then, of course, around Jordan and other areas up north of Israel, and even around Israel. And then you had the Stevens, of course. Stevens was part and parcel to this. Don't forget, Stevens, before he arrived or before he was in Libya, was in Syria. You have to understand the background. And I don't trust Trey Gowdy in getting to the bottom of this. I don't trust especially the Gang of Eight or any members of the Congress, because they were aware of this gun running operation, illegal gun running operation, outside of the laws of Congress. So the reason we are seeing this dog and pony show, the reason we're not getting to the bottom of this, is because, very simply, that they have blood on their hands. And this was not a cry for security. This was not a failure to provide adequate security. This is the security that they were referencing, for the most part, was for Tripoli, not Benghazi. You don't want a whole bunch of security, color guards, standing guard outside of a secret CIA compound in the middle of a residential neighborhood in Benghazi. Just think of it this way. Think of a cul-de-sac, you know, in your neighborhood. And everything's normal. Although, you know, it's a little bit more foot traffic than normal in your neighborhood with regard to this one house, you know, and they're all big houses, we'll say. Well, you don't want to throw up an American flag and post guards out there if you're running a covert CIA operation. So the security, yes, it was wanting, but it was wanting not at that location, but at the Tripoli location. Stevens spent most of his time, or much of his time, in Tripoli, not in Benghazi. Benghazi for operational and tactical reasons, but Tripoli for diplomatic reasons. So the security aspect, yes, and the security detail was for the transit from Tripoli to Benghazi. So when they say security, it's a smokescreen to confuse, for the most part. Folks, we're doing audio tonight, video. We'll be back up tomorrow. It was my bright idea to do that, but it was based on something that didn't quite make it. So anyway, we'll be back up on video tomorrow. So we're just doing audio tonight. But anyway, so that's what that's all about. But yes, the emails there are revelations about Benghazi. Trump was right last night. And how many, you know, man, Trump debated not just Hillary Clinton, but Twinkle Toes, Anderson Cooper, and Martha Raddatz. I mean, he was debating three people. My goodness.
Yeah, and the from his opening statement, the moderator jumped in right away and said, "Hold the applause," and then let Hillary speak. And the interruptions were pretty bad. The fact checking was pretty bad. The moderators were terrible. And actually, I saw an interesting article came out later today. Rudy Giuliani saying that Clinton actually admitted to crimes at the debate, and he's the former mayor of New York City.
Which Clinton?
Hillary.
Oh, Hillary. Okay.
He was speaking at a rally today for Donald Trump in Ambridge, PA. Rudy Giuliani was, and he said he had a federal judge call him in the morning, this morning, Monday morning, and say that. Part of the debate last night sounded like a confession to a federal crime when she was confronted with why she destroyed 33,000 emails after she got a congressional subpoena, and she had no answer. But he goes on to say you could take the tape and play it at a trial, and it would constitute a virtual confession to numerous federal crimes. I've never seen anything at the presidential debate that doesn't even begin to examine the scope of her criminality. Trump even said, you know, lock her up, and if I'm president, I'll basically convene a special prosecutor to investigate you. And what's really interesting about this debate was what happened before the debate, from the release of the Trump audio to the press conference he had before the debate started with all of the Bill Clinton sexual stuff. He had brought these women into a room, told reporters it was for one thing. They came in, and the sexual assault and rape accusations, the women who made those accusations against Bill, as well as the lady who was raped, and Hillary Clinton defended her rapist, they all were there, and they actually, he took them to the debate, and they would not allow him to put the women in the family section of the debate, but they did attend the debate. And that, you know, we mentioned this at the beginning of the show, that is why you saw the look on Bill Clinton's face about, you know, Hillary Clinton was there, and all, you know, the accusers of Bill Clinton, who said that they were raped by him, sexually harassed, were sitting right there. And another thing that's not been talked about in this, with this debate, is the email leaks. There's a lot of information that is coming out about these email leaks from what was going on in the Clinton campaign during the primary with Bernie Sanders. Different policy in pertaining to her pay to play with the State Department.
He got some
foundation.
He got some good one-liners in there about Sanders. Trump did, and they're not false. Not that certainly not that he or anyone else is supporting Sanders. It's supporting the rules of the game, and here we are with the lawlessness again. That's what it's all about. It's about. They just don't give a damn. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
No, that's
they
right.
They don't care.
The media on all sides are continuing the protect Clinton, trash Trump narrative, regardless of what happens. And there's so much out there that the media could, you know, obviously reasonably ask her questions about. There are so many unanswered questions pertaining to Hillary Clinton scandals, and they don't even have to preface it. You know, this is, what about the email scandal, Emailgate, or Benghazi? They can, you know, like, they, Trump brought it up, but she wouldn't address it. The, you know, where'd the 33,000 emails go? And, you know, he was better, he was better polished this time around.
Yeah, yes.
From the highlights I watched, and I've only watched the highlights. I couldn't go back and.
I saw him when he came out, and well, actually, when he walked up the stairs, I could see the bulls, they got the. They snort and they got the stuff coming out, you know, the steam coming out of their nose. I could see it, man. I could see it in his eyes and in his Yeah, he was countenance. And trust me, his demeanor. I could just see it. And he was loaded for bear coming up there, and I think he had to be, but he was reserved. Now, my wife yesterday. Okay, she said, I can't believe he said all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, she was disappointed, extremely disappointed in Trump. And I said, what, you don't think that, I mean, obviously, yeah, I am too.
Well, you know,
but
obviously it's not Christian-like, it's not.
No, it's not. Of course not.
And, you know, they're trying to say that, and I even mentioned this.
She was mad at him
on Friday about how they were saying it's locker room talk.
Well,
I would agree with that to the extent that I've heard people say a lot worse.
Yeah, but here's the
but
thing.
But you just don't. I mean, this was 11 years ago.
Right.
And, he wasn't running for office at the time. He's not even a politician.
There you go. And Bill, he said it. Bill Clinton did it.
Yeah, and that doesn't excuse him, but at the same time, you know, the one thing that surprised me, too, is Glenn Beck. We've talked about him pertaining to this election, and he said something interesting in an interview today. I've considered voting for Hillary Clinton. Now, this is a guy who...
Glenn Beck?
Yes.
Every time I turn him on lately, I'm in the car, and I aim for a bridge abutment. Okay.
Well, see, Cruz came out and endorsed Donald Trump last month, and Beck said he was profoundly sad by that act. And
right,
that was because Ted Cruz was, you know, Beck's candidate, and once it was obvious he wasn't going to get the nomination, didn't get the nomination, Beck went to this mode where he basically said he couldn't, you know, his conscience couldn't allow him to vote in the election. He couldn't vote for Trump. And I heard him say on the radio show months ago that he could, you know, how bad Hillary Clinton is. He goes through the news about her scandals. He's went through her past. And then for him to come out and say something like this, and what we were missing here, folks, and some of this is coming out in the email Podesta leaks,
yes,
is the collusion between
yes.
the media and the Clinton campaign.
There we go.
To the point where even, you know, Bill O'Reilly's come out and said that three different major news networks are, you know, gunning for Trump, and we know that they're all gunning for Trump. But for to see Beck say, I've considered voting for Hillary Clinton, I'll tell you, that crossed my mind to vote for Hillary, he says. But then he goes on to say, I can't do it because she's just a horse of a different color. He says they're both bad.
Well,
but
well,
the media spin.
But, okay, forget about him for a minute. My question is, does he reflect now the consciousness of the country? In other words, what he's saying, is that kind of like what people are feeling, or is this, I guess I'm trying to see, I'm striving to see if there's relevance here. If there's relevance.
I think he's trying to stay relevant. I don't think there is relevance. I mean, I don't think he has anything.
Are people thinking the way he's thinking? I guess that's my question.
You know, there are a lot of people that follow in this country instead of thinking for themselves, making their own decisions and doing the research and leading. So I'm sure there's a faction of his audience that are, you know, diehard Beck fans, and they're going to follow what he says. And if that means no to supporting Wall Street or supporting Trump, then, you know, they might go that way. And I say Wall Street because one of the things that came out in the first Clinton leak that we have to just touch on here in the last couple seconds, and we can get into this on the other side, is there was one Clinton email that, or not an email, a leaked speech that she gave to a Wall Street group. It was behind closed doors. She didn't want to release it. And we'll tell you what she said on the other side, because this speaks directly to her policies and to what she wants to do with the country and the world if she were to become president.
The most dangerous time in history, I believe, in modern history in America is right now. I truly, honestly believe that we are entering into a time period like no other. It's extremely dangerous. And we are about ready to see something. Something's going to happen here. Sorry about that. We're working on some technical things. Folks, we're going to be right back after this. You stay right where you're at. A lot coming your way. This program, this segment, and then, of course, at the top of the hour, Steve Quayle. Man of the hour, Steve Quayle. Stay right where you're at. The Hagman and Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to listen to us. HagmanandHagman.com. That's our show page. HagmanReport.com. That's for news and information.
And check
for
that
the
daily.
Media that, yes, check it daily indeed. You're right. What do you think? I mean,
we've been making sure that this, I mean, there's a lot of stuff up there. You know, one thing that happened before the debate on 60 Minutes, Charlie Rose interviewed a robot, which if you go to HagmanReport.com, you can watch the video and read part of the transcript. It's pretty interesting stuff. They're showcasing the abilities of the artificial intelligence, and it's a look into now, the future, but really it's now.
Indeed. Let me ask all of our listeners out there in today's environment. We have so many people who own their own businesses or are personnel managers. Remember when personnel was called personnel, not human resources? Anyway, folks, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best of all candidates? Posting your job opening in one place is not enough to find quality candidates. Folks, if you want to find that perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the top job sites. And ladies and gentlemen, now you can. If that is your job, to go out and find the best candidate for that position that you have open, I've got one place for you. ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100+ job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with just one click. Simple as that. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. Now, I've used this interface. It's a dashboard, and it's wonderful. If you're looking for that that special person to fill that job that you've got. You can do it through the interface. You don't have to juggle emails. You don't have to accept calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates. You can rate them and hire the right person for the job very quickly. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 800,000 million businesses, actually. Right now, folks, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Folks, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. You won't be sorry, folks. And I've used it, and I will just say that I would not go anywhere else. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. But, you know, and I said right before the break, Joe, and kind of getting back to the WikiLeaks, to everything that's taking place right now, I've got to say that we are entering in, I believe, to the most dangerous, to the most equally dangerous and exciting as well, era in modern history. You've got revelations coming out. You've got two presidential candidates that, to me, and folks, what do you think about this? It's almost becoming, you put up a Trump sign in your yard and your neighbor has a Hillary sign. It's getting to the point where you're not going to be talking to them anymore. The divide is so severe. The emotion is so severe. The intensity of this election is so extreme. I blame, I don't know. I was going to say I blame our heretofore lack of our carelessness, our carefree attitude, just going along to get along. We cannot do that. I really think that principles are involved here. And, you know, Trump said something, and it sent a lot of people into orbit yesterday when Trump said this. He said made a reference that he would hire a special prosecutor and Hillary Clinton would be in jail. That's ultimately what he said. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And I was watching in real time some of the Twitter feeds, and we've got a Twitter bank. Of course, you can. We're watching with trends and everything, so we keep an eye on things contemporaneous to. And of course, the big thing is, well, Trump can't do that. And of course, today you see, well, that only happens in third world countries. You have people from The View coming out as if their opinion matters.
Joy Behar called the women who were there. The accused
sluts,
tramps,
yeah. Or yeah, whatever. But wait, getting back to the special prosecutor thing, saying this only happens in third world countries. No, see, and saying that Trump can't, appoint a special prosecutor. No, but his Department of Justice, if you have a proper Department of Justice, one that works, then he certainly can. It can happen. And I thought it was really interesting. In that one moment of time, he was able to slip in the airport meeting. He was able to talk about Hillary, about her previous crimes. But when it's all said and done, folks, and I guarantee you the smoking gun lies in the Clinton Foundation, of which not just Bill and Hillary and Chelsea are part of this criminal conduct, but you're going to find, as the layers of this financial onion are peeled back, you're going to find corruption by both Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and progressives or liberals. This is at the heart, because money is the motivator here. This is at the heart of the corruption. The Clinton Foundation, the CGI, Clinton Global Initiative. This is not limited to Hillary and Bill. This involves Huma. This involves everybody around the orbit or within the orbit of Clintons, of the Clintons. And I do believe honestly and sincerely that an investigation into this organization will reveal the criminality and the depth of criminality. You know, Joe, too, you had McCain, and look at Paul Ryan yesterday. Saying,
as speaker, maybe.
But you're seeing everything unravel. You're seeing the wheels come off of this machine. And Steve's going to speak on this too.
Well, I don't see it as. I mean, yeah, it's coming off the machine, and Donald Trump should not feel bad or look at it as a loss when politicians don't endorse him. You know, as we mentioned earlier, he's not a politician, and we've seen how the both sides, Democrats and Republicans, and the institutions that support these two parties have all but, you know, thrown him under the bus and refused to treat him like a regular candidate. The news media is following suit. And one thing that's not showcased and, you know, are the policies. What would happen if Clinton was elected versus Trump on open borders, on, you know, the banking institutions and what they're able to get away with? Some stuff that's been released, when, and I think that Trump tape was released to get people's attention and focus off this email dump, the WikiLeaks email dump, because not only were emails, John Podesta's emails released, paid speeches, paid Wall Street speeches by Hillary Clinton were also released. And one in particular here, we know that if people have been paying attention, Hillary Clinton states that she is against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Well, in May 16th, 2013, this is what Clinton said to a paid Wall Street, in a paid Wall Street speech. My dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders. Sometime in the future, with energy that is as green and sustainable as we can get it, powering growth and opportunity for every person in the hemisphere.
There's that key word, the hemisphere, of course. And people poo-poo the idea of a one-world global governance or even the North American Union.
She also said that, you know, there needs to be a public and private opinion on certain issues. And she went on to say that she is far removed from the struggles of the middle class because the life I've lived and the economic, you know, fortunes that my husband and I now enjoy, she goes on to say. And there's a lot of stuff. There's stuff about the, in a private 2013 speech, Hillary Clinton made comments about the refugees and jihadis entering with refugee status. She was worried about the risk of jihadis entering Jordan with legitimate refugees because they can't possibly vet all those refugees. Now, Clinton today is calling for an increase in the amount of Syrian refugees to the U.S. by 55,000 annually, and she believes that the U.S. refugee screening process is comprehensive enough to catch potential jihadists trying to enter the country. But that's not what is reflected in her paid speeches.
See, and why?
And just like her policies. Like, she says she's against the TPP, yet she's always supported open trade.
Right.
Free trade.
Yeah, just go to my website, said Eric the Tech. But yes, you're correct. The thing about the speeches, not the the text of the speeches being secrets, that's a problem for a lot of reasons. There can be an argument made, well, that's the property and proprietary property of the both the speaker as well as the person who purchased that speech. Yet, when you're talking as from a position as the Secretary of State, all of that, in my view, anyway, should be allowed, should be open. A couple of things, too, that were mentioned, and I just want to pile on because we have we only have a few more minutes before Steve Quayle joins us here. What I felt was really interesting is the, and you're going to be hearing more about this in the coming days, I believe. You're going to hear the analysts of the debated analysts talk about Trump's predatory body language.
Oh yeah, right? I saw.
You're going to see that. And also, don't be surprised if there are more audios and videos released about Trump in the coming days. And I've I was notified of this after the debate last night.
There's talk of the Apprentice having audio on Trump. They have said they will not release it. There's also a $5 million price tag.
Well, yeah, you can't.
If they do release it, but they, somebody's gonna
pay, if somebody's going to pay, you know, if John Smith has got a transcript or a tape that's bad, makes Trump look bad, and Trump, of course, can have a $5 million sanction against the person who releases it. Well, if somebody's going to pay $10 million, you know, that inconvenience is more than taken care of. But I do believe there will be some more things coming out against Trump. The more I see on this, and I don't know, folks, it's up to, I mean, you're going to have to kind of make a decision yourself. I do believe that Trump is not part of the New World Order system. I believe that he, they wouldn't be fighting this hard and this dirty if he was. Now, does that mean that he's not going to be co-opted at some point? Or could he be co-opted? Of course he could. But at this point, I have to take him at face value. Because if you look at what Hillary is doing and Bill is doing and all of the people in the orbit of Bill and Hillary, they're certainly circling the wagons and attempting to thrust Hillary into that position, which, by the way, and I believe this to be true, and I hope this is not, however, I can see Hillary becoming the next president of the United States based on the electoral vote as opposed to the popular vote, and that would just send this country into a tailspin. I really believe that. But
absolutely.
So those are some things. But the other key thing, though, and you touched on this, and we're going to be following this with extreme. I mean, we're all over this, and those are the WikiLeaks of the emails. There is gold in that, in those. When I say gold, I mean evidence of criminal activity.
Yep, I just came across one about the Osama bin Laden photos from Jacob Sullivan to Hillary Clinton, where they talk about releasing the bin Laden photos only to show members of Congress in a secure room. And they use this phrase, "deather movement." They go on to say,
as opposed to the birther movement, deather.
Right.
Movement,
they go on to say that, you know, you can present these to Congress, and they will serve as a witness to the magnitude of what you know, that their legitimacy. But they go on to say that the far right wing Tea Party Republicans would, by their mere presence, admit to the president's status above them and to his effectiveness. There would also be a sultry effect at the beginning of the negotiations on the debt ceiling. It would curb the ability of the Republicans to appeal to partisan sentiment and indulge partisan rhetoric, giving the administration more edge. Having members of Congress testify to the reality of the photos will suppress any potential deather movement.
That the administration has either fabricated
the event or suppressed some aspect of it.
Right.
This event should be staged over a 2 to 3 day period, occupying most of a work week and continuing to dominate the public and congressional mind. Don't let the photos serve as trophies. Instead, take the Congress as trophy using the photos.
In other words, what they're saying is really simple. To deflect any kind of questions about what really happened in Pakistan on that day in May, the first day of May, when Osama bin Laden was taken out. Here's video evidence, or here's photographic evidence to deflect any kind of questioning of the actual operational story.
And they've already said in this email what we've said. They talk about in the email. They talk about how the bin Laden thing is perfect timing because of the birther activist Orly Tates and other major news networks covering the birther issues. Suddenly, Obama announces that the body of Osama bin Laden is found, and we need to prepare for a possible terrorist attack.
Yeah,
and then they go on to say how this was perfect timing, and this will throw the birtherism stuff away. They even mention Alex Jones in one of the.
Yes.
Talking about the birther issue, Orly Tates, and Osama bin Laden.
Don't think for one moment that Alex Jones and people like Alex Jones and organizations, even like ours, are not on the radar. We're on the radar. When I say we, I'm talking about the those occupants of the alternative media or the new media now replacing the old media. Just as Woodward and Bernstein were characterized in. For the purists out there, I understand what you're thinking right now, but if you go back to what how Woodward and Bernstein were portrayed and characterized back during Watergate, that would be us, meaning the alternative media or the new media today, where we represent a danger to the establishment. And speaking of the establishment, if you want to know, and I received this little tidbit, I did share this across the lines with some other talk show hosts. If you want to know where the leaks, because my question was, where did that tape from Trump, where did that come from? Why now? The timing was interesting. Well, I believe, and this is based on information I've received, I cannot verify this, but I believe it came from inside the conservative Republican camp of lawmakers. How do you like that? Not from a Sanders supporter, not from a Hillary supporter, at least not outwardly, but came from within the conservative circles or so-called conservative circles. We're working on attempting to establish or verify the authenticity of that. And go ahead.
Of all the stuff that's been going on with the debate, I don't know how many people saw this. The Gateway Pundit put up an article today.
Oh, yeah.
Reporter admits Secret Service at debate said no flashes because right. of Hillary Clinton's seizure disorder.
And they gave and they a go box on, camera. Or
this is what the reporter yeah. said. He mentioned that the phones were... this is why it was banned, apparently, because the Secret Service did not trust people to disable the flashes on their cameras, and they were afraid it would inspire Hillary's seizure disorder. A reporter admitted Monday that the Secret Service told reporters not to use the flash because of Hillary Clinton's disorder.
You know, so I don't believe that. I don't believe that verbiage was used. That's just me. Come on.
Well, there's, I don't know. There's some stuff on Twitter, and there's a link to a video. And but the person who released it was a reporter, and this is what he said took place there.
Okay, so my question, because I saw that story too.
Came out and said because of her seizure disorder.
That's what I'm saying. Were those words actually uttered, used, said aloud? Or was it said between, you know, Secret Service agent and a specific reporter? I don't know. But I believe that to be the case, but I don't know if that was said. But even more importantly than that, I shouldn't say more importantly, because you've got Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, is looking pretty peppy, right? I mean, she certainly didn't look like the same Hillary Clinton that fell on her face or had to be, face pushed into that van on 9/11. Certainly, whatever they're doing for her, but she's getting plenty of rest, right? But even aside from that, you've got the obvious criminality where, and how can anyone defend Clinton or Obama or especially Clinton on the issues where Hillary Clinton is absolutely one of the founders of ISIS and almost completely responsible for the destruction of Syria? But she's now turning and blaming that on Russia. My mm-hmm. question is, how can people not see, be so deluded that they cannot see what Hillary Clinton has done? You know, you mentioned Benghazi to the diehard Hillary supporters. It's almost they get into this this denial that is so great they can't see what's taking place or what has taken place. Hillary talked about that picture of that child yesterday, I believe it was, during the debate. Time's all running together, but the bombing victim, the child bombing victim. Well, wait a minute. Where'd that come from? Who dropped the bombs? Those bombs, many of the bombs came, and even today the bombings, that are being conducted is from where? Saudi Arabia. But stamped made in the USA in many cases on the armaments. And the other bombs and the other weapons were shipped up, especially the small arms were shipped up into Syria from Libya. And not just from Libya, but Libya acted as a conduit, as a Ho Chi Minh trail for those weapons up into Turkey and other areas surrounding Syria that made their way into Syria. So how people can possibly say otherwise is just beyond me. And we've been saying this for years, ever since Benghazi happened, we've been saying this.
And I know Steve Quill will be joining us in just a few minutes. And I want to touch on this before he comes on, because I'm sure he's going to be talking about this. Russia and Turkey has signed a gas deal seeking common ground on Syria as the ties between the two nations warm, according to Reuters. Turkey and Russia signed an agreement on Monday for the construction of a major undersea gas pipeline and vowed to seek common ground on the war in Syria, accelerating a normalization in ties nearly a year after Turkey shot down a Russian warplane. And people are saying that this is Turkey being pulled out of NATO, and that this will crumble relations between NATO and Turkey, and will lose them as a NATO partner, for whatever that's worth. But Erdogan hosted Putin at an Ottoman-era villa in Istanbul for talks which touched on energy deals, trade, and tourism ties, defense, and the conflict in Syria, where the two leaders back opposing sides. And they went on to make a statement about normalizing the Turkish-Russian relationship and coming together. And the warming relations between NATO member Turkey and Russia comes as both countries are dealing with troubled economies and strained ties to the West. So where will this leave Syria, and where will this leave Turkey and NATO is the question we have to ask.
Okay, and there was also that's a broader scale. And the NATO relationship, but I want to bring this home a little bit because of the time frame here. Just real quick, in the United States, but Brussels, Paris, we saw this in France, we saw this in Brussels. Folks, Syrian refugees they're not refugees, okay? This is an Islamic invasion that was planned and orchestrated. The refugee status, yes, there are refugees, but the people that are being brought in under the Obama / Clinton / Kerry agenda objective are not, Joe and folks, they're not the displaced persons. Otherwise, you would have a greater number of Christians and Alawites and
yeah,
others.
You would. Okay. I mean, we're talking, you get a handful of Christians in 1,000
yes.
to 5,000 Muslim refugees, and that's not by accident.
But what we're going to be seeing here in the United States is the Syrians and the people from Iran and Iraq, because we cannot vet. There's no mechanism to vet these people. Trump was correct. Hillary Clinton is just full of beans, as is Obama. They're lying and they're laughing at. I mean, they think all of us are stupid. Look, a Syrian refugee planned attacks similar to Paris and Brussels in Germany after explosives were found here just the other day. This is going to be taking place in the United States, and this is being planned. This is part of their orchestrated plan. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com coming up very soon. Oh, I can't wait. So we're going to be talking about a number of things here.
We're going to be talking, I'm sure, about the geopolitical situation here in America, as well as the economic situation in over in the East with China and Germany, both looking at some scary yet interesting economic numbers and the potential for some collapses, as well as what's going on with Russia and the U.S. as talk and rhetoric continue to reign supreme. But what's really going on behind the scenes? We'll be right back with Steve Quill.